Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. I apologize for the time change, but just with Mincha Maariv ending around 8:45, I figured it was a good time to start the shiur. Hope it didn't inconvenience you, and we'll see if anybody joins at 9. We'll have to apologize to them later. Okay, so we're beginning Perek Chaf Dalet. Excuse me, at the end of Perek Chaf Gimel, 2 weeks ago, we learned about David and Shaul almost facing off, and Shaul was closing in on David. If you remember, there was different descriptions in the Rishonim, how they understood the Psukim, but let's say a mountain, and David is on one side, and Shaul's on the other side, or something along those lines. And Shaul is about to capture David. And at the last minute, Hashgachas Hashem has it, that Hashem sends a malach, messenger, some say it was a real angel, to tell Shaul that the Plishtim are attacking, and he's got to come right away. And Shaul is now torn. On the one hand, he's got David so close, and he's been chasing him. He finally wants to get him, to catch him, to kill him. On the other hand, he's the Melech Yisrael, and the Plishtim are attacking Bnei Yisrael. He can't just ignore that. So his conscience gets the better of him, and he runs away to go deal with the Plishti threat, and David escapes with his life. Now, Shaul, when he's done with the Plishtim, decides he's going to go back and chase David. He was so close last time, so let's try to get him this time. And that's where we pick up in Perek Chaf Dalet. Pasuk Aleph, Ayhi Kasher Shov Shaul Me'acharei Plishtim, when Shaul left the Plishtim, Vayagidu Lo Le'mor, they told him, I guess his men, they told him to say, yeah, you're right, exactly. Hine David B'midbar Ein Gedi. David is in the desert of Ein Gedi. We all know Ein Gedi. Most of us, I think, have probably been to Ein Gedi to the springs. So he's in the desert of Ein Gedi. That's where David was hiding out. Ha'ikach Shaul Shloshes Alofim Ish Bachur Mikol Yisrael. So Shaul gathers an army of 3,000 young men. Remember, David had a force of 600. So David is quite outnumbered here. Shaul's got a force of 3,000 young men. Vayelech levakesh, and it also says Mikol Yisrael, from all of Bnei Yisrael. But remember, Shaul had widespread support at this point. Although it seems from the way we read the Psukim, he's just reading the Psukim, and in hindsight, looking at this story, it seems pretty clear that he was in the wrong, and David didn't do anything wrong. And here Shaul's trying to chase him and to kill him. But nonetheless, Shaul is experiencing, he has widespread support, and people are very happy and very supportive of him. Mikol Yisrael, he's got soldiers from all over the Jewish people, all the ranks.
He's telling him, they just came back from fight.
Yeah.
So he's telling him, okay, come with me, we're going to look for David?
Exactly. Vayelech levakesh as David, and he goes to fight, to find David, the Anoshav, and David and his men, al pnei tzurei hayeelim, upon the rocks of the goats. The rocks of the goats. These are the...
Those pictures of the goats hanging out.
On the rocks. Yeah, exactly. These are like the wild goats, that are in the desert goats that are in the rocks. So there were these mountainous ranges in this area. And they were inhabited by a lot of these wild goats, and that's where he went to find David. The Malbim points out interestingly that here he was not hiding the fact that he was going to capture David. Right earlier, he didn't want everybody to know, so he kind of made it look like he was going to attack the Plishtim, and he finds David and he chases down David. But here, he's not hiding the fact that he's going to attack David, and that's why he recruits these 3,000 men, and he's going to get him. Now, it's interesting that Shaul, according to the Malbim, assumed David would be hiding among the rocks. Why? Because the rocks are a good place to hide, right? Pretty sure, right? That's where I think fortified, tall, a lot of nooks and crannies and crevices, right? I think Osama bin Laden was hiding in those rocks, but in other types of rocks. So, he thought it was a good hiding spot. That's where David would be hiding. Now David knew that Shaul would be thinking that, so David didn't hide there. And we'll see in a moment where David did hide, but he did not hide in the rocks, and he actually stayed out more in the open because he felt that Shaul wouldn't realize that that's where he was. Shaul's thinking he's, you know, in some sort of a great hiding spot.
Why the word Ishbacher? Who cares if they're young men? Never said it before.
I hear you. I don't know. Why Ishbacher? I hear. I'm not sure. So Kol Yisrael, I think that's what I mentioned. I think that might be coming to emphasize the fact that Shaul had widespread support. You know, that his support was from Kol Yisrael. It was really, he wasn't just tapping to Shevet Binyamin or some other small select group. This was a widespread show of support. He was the king. He was the king, and he was still popular. You know, I don't know. Maybe just to denote their strength, Ish Bachar. You know, they're young men. They're strapping young men. Now, this was a real force. Okay, Pasuk Gimel, Vayovo El Gidros Hatzon Al Haderech. So Shaul is traveling near the. I'm sorry, Pasuk Gimel, right? Vayovo El Gidros Hatzon Al Haderech. So Shaul comes by the herds of sheep that are on the road. You know, you're walking on the road and you see a herd of sheep on the side grazing. So that's where Shaul was. He was heading towards the Pnei Tzurei HaYe'elim. He was heading towards the rocks because that's where he thought David was hiding. To get to the rocks, he's got to go down the road. And on the road, there were these herds of sheep. B'sham Me'ara. There was a cave on the side of that road. Okay, so Vayovo Shaul Lahaseches Raglov. Shaul's got to use the restroom, right? Shaul has to use the restroom. He's got to use the bathroom. So he says, you know, I got to use the bathroom. There's a cave here. Let me just go into the cave. I'll do my business, and then I'll come out and I'll resume and I'll go and find David. Now lo and behold, the David va'anoshav biyarkisei hamaora yoshvin. David and his men are deep inside this cave.
It's funny how the practice was that Philistine took away Shaul,
right? Right.
Now he comes to the bathroom and there.
Yes, exactly. So Baruch Hu is moving everything into place here, right? Everything into place. Okay. Now Shaul does not expect David to be here. Why? Because although it is a cave, this cave is right by the side of the road. Now, what person running for their life is going to hide right by the side of the road? And the Mefarshim point out, also, this was, you know, this were all the sheep were, the shepherds were there, the sheep were there. It's a very public place. David's not going to hide here. He's going to hide in the rocks. He's going to hide in the mountains. He's going to hide somewhere where it's hard to find someone. Not in a cave right off the side of the road. So Shaul is not expecting in the least that David is in this cave. He just thinks it's an empty cave. He's got to go to the bathroom. He's got to go to the bathroom. Right? Yeah. So that's the Malbim points out these things. Now the Radak quotes a fascinating Chazal. And you know, he points out that the Pasuk uses an interesting word here for going to the bathroom, Lehaseich Esraglov. Lehaseich Esraglov. So some Farshim grapple and try to understand where that word comes from and how that's related to going to the bathroom. Yeah. So Chazal say, the Radak quotes Chazal. That Chazal say he covered himself like a sukkah, lahaseich, like schach, you know, to cover. So he covered himself like a sukkah when he went to the bathroom. And while he was going to the bathroom, he still made sure to cover himself. Why is that important? Because it shows the extreme tznius of Shaul HaMelech. That Shaul, even though he was going to the bathroom, he didn't just, you know, drop his drawers. Shaul covered himself and, you know, he did what he had to do, but he covered himself as much as possible to make sure that his body wouldn't be visible, his body wouldn't be seen. And we'll see in a couple of minutes that this expression of tznius is very important. And according to some, it acts as a zchus, as a merit for Shaul. But I think something fascinating that you see here is that, you know, all these last prakim, we have a very negative attitude towards Shaul. We see Shaul in a very negative light. You know, he's a little bit off his rocker. Paranoid. He's paranoid. He's coming. He's jealous. He's coming to attack. David didn't do anything. So we think almost of Shaul as a quote-unquote Russia. He's not a good person, right? You see here, he was still a tzaddik. He was misguided. He had issues, He was jealous. He was mentally imbalanced, as we discussed, right? So there were definitely issues here. There were not, you know, it's not like everything was hunky-dory. But at the same time, you see that he was still a tzaddik. And we can never forget that as much as Shaul does make mistakes throughout his career, right? Obviously, the biggest mistake was with Amalek and keeping Agag alive. And the way he's dealing with David is also a big mistake. And it's a big blunder. And he loses the melucha over these two things, mostly the story with Amalek. But this also is not going to be favorable for him. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we retain the picture that Shaul is really a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik. He's a special person. He made mistakes. And he was punished for them. And he lost the melucha for those mistakes. But he wasn't a rasha. He wasn't a bad person. He was a tzaddik. Look how you know, to what extent he's going out of his way to be tzanua as he's going to the bathroom. Deep inside, he had a tzidkus. He had a righteousness to him. And he was a melech also, correct. Okay, not all melachim act in such a high and moral way, you know, but Shaul was. Pasuk Dalet, Vayomru Anshei David Elov. So now, David and his men are deep inside the cave. They see Shaul walk in. Shaul doesn't see them. They're deep inside. It's dark inside. So they can see out, but he can't see in, right? So they whisper to David, Hinei Hayom Asher Omar Hashem Elecha. This is the day that Hashem said to you, Hinei Anochi no Senasa Yivcha B'yadecha. Right? I'm going to give your enemy into your hands. You've got him. The Asisa Lo Kasher Yitav Be'inecha. Do whatever you want him. Look, he's yours. He walked in here unprotected into the cave. He's a sitting duck, right? He's a target. Vayakom David. So David gets up, and what does he do? Vayichros, and this is famous, you might remember it. Vayichros es kenaf hameil asher leshaul balot. He tiptoes over behind Shaul. He clips the corner of his cloak, and he takes that piece and he goes back into the shadows. He doesn't touch Shaul. He doesn't kill him. He doesn't hurt him. He doesn't touch him. He just clips. He cuts off the corner of his cloak. Shaul doesn't even feel it. He doesn't realize what happened. And he goes back into the shadows, you know, quietly, silently. Now, the first thing, before we get to the clipping of the cloak, but the first thing the Mefarshim talk about here is, what are they talking about? The men say, this is the day, Hinei Hayom. This is the day, Asher Omar Hashem Eilecha, that Hashem said to you, Hinei Anochi Noosteinu Sayivcha B'yadecha. When did that happen? When did Hashem tell David that I'm going to give your enemies into your hands? When did that happen? Do we remember ever Hashem coming to David and telling him, I'm going to give your enemies into your hands? No, it doesn't appear. You look back throughout all of Shmuel Aleph. You're not going to find it. Right? We don't have it. So the Mefarshim all say that there must have been some sort of a Nevuah. The Radak himself says, I'm not even sure, you know, through which Navi the Nevuah came. Did it come through Shmuel? Maybe it came through God, Nasan. I don't know. The Radak himself says, I'm not sure. But it must have been that there was a Nevuah, and the Nevuah was that David would be successful in his melucha. So that necessarily means that he's going to defeat his enemies. If he has a nevuah that his melucha is going to be successful. Now, we know David was anointed. He was anointed by Shmuel. So he was anointed by a Navi, right? Some of Farshim want to learn that was what we're talking about here. He was anointed by a Navi. So if he's anointed by a Navi, and maybe according to the Radak, he had some extra nevuah that his melucha was going to last, was going to be successful, then that means his enemies are going to fall. Shaul is his number one enemy.
He's allowed to kill David. Is he allowed to kill Shaul?
Oh.
Shaul is a king.
Yes.
So is he a rode?
Oh, very good. Very good. So we'll get there in a second. Very good question. Very good question. Okay? Fine. So that's the first point that the Mefarshim talk about. Now, some of the Mefarshim, just touching on Joe's point. So Joe just asked, is he allowed to kill him? Is he a rode? Right? Normally, Chazal tell us, we know, the Gemara says, someone's coming to kill you, you can kill them first, right? So Shaul's coming to kill David. David should be able to get up. He should be able to get up and kill Shaul. And the Malbim says, yes, he was allowed to do that. Of course he was allowed to protect himself. Self-defense. Someone's trying to kill you, you can get up and kill him, right? So he was allowed to kill him. He was allowed to kill him, apidin. Okay? However, the Malbim says that David was not sure if, number one, the time had come for Shaul's kingdom to end. Now we know that Shaul's kingdom is going to end and David is going to take over. David knows that. Shmuel anointed him. But he doesn't know when that's going to happen. And it's got to happen at the right time. He can't rush it. So he doesn't know. Is now the time that I'm supposed to kill Shaul and take over as king? I don't know if now is the appropriate time. Correct. That's what David's saying. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if now is the right time. Okay. So I'm going to read the next couple of psukim with first, according to the approach of the, I would say, more the pshat mefarshim, Rashi, the Radak, Mitzvahs David, and then we'll take the Malbim's approach. He has a fascinating approach. Okay. So we have this situation. He chooses, right? David chooses not to kill Shaul, not even to harm him. He just clips the corner of his cloak. We'll come back to this. Pasuk hey, vayhi acharei chein. Now after he did this, vayach leiv David also. David's heart was hitting him. Right, the Mefarshim understand he was upset. David was very upset after this. Al asher karas es kanaf asher l'shaul. He was very upset by what he did. He was very upset that he cut Shaul's cloak, that he cut the corner. Okay, why was he so upset? So says the Radak that although Shaul was chasing him, he's still the king. He's still the king. And you have to have Yira from the Melech. So David clipped the coat, he clipped his cloak, and then he turns around and he says, what did I just do? I just cut the coat of the Melech Yisrael, right? Okay, so we'll see in a minute. According to Pashup Shot, the reason why he did this was to show Shaul that he could have killed him. Right? I was this close, I could have killed you. Right? That's the basic idea, which we'll see in the Psukim in a little bit. The Malbim adds a little nuance here, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. Yeah. Hold on. We're getting there. Yeah. Okay. So now, but what's fascinating here, keep in mind, Shaul is chasing David to kill him, right? And David is upset at himself that he didn't have the proper yira from the Melech. That's what the Radak says. It's unbelievable, right? It's amazing. I mean, would any of us ever in a million years think like that, right? Of course not, but he was distraught. He was upset at himself. How could I have done such a thing? Right, you see the midos, you see the hashkafos, you see the, you know, just the how on what a madrega David was on, that even as he's being chased, Shaul wants to kill him, and he says, I didn't have the proper mora, I didn't have the proper yira from the melech, right? He's still the melech Yisrael. I have to treat him properly. I can't cut his coat. Unbelievable, right? But that's David. That's David. That's David Amelech. What?
You just said I can't cut his coat or I can't kill him.
No, well, he certainly felt he couldn't kill him. Right. But he's upset that he even cut his coat.
Even more so.
Yeah, how could I have done that to the Malach Yisrael? What a disgrace! It's a bizayon to cut you, mevayish him, right? Exactly. Okay, now vayomer la'anoshav pasuk vav, and we'll come back. We're going to come back to see the Malbim's interpretation. I just want to see the all three pesukim. Vayomer la'anoshav. So he comes back to his men, and he says, "Chalilo lime Hashem im ese es hadavar azel ladoni l'mashiach Hashem." He says, Chalila, for me to do this to my master, to the anointed one of Hashem, meaning the king, Mishloach Yodi Bo, to touch him, to hurt him, to kill him. Ki Mashiach Hashem Hu. He's the anointed one of Hashem. Hashem anointed him as king. Now, Rashi says that you read these psukim, they don't read. They're out of order, right? Because first, in Pasuk Dalid, the men tell David, hey, David, he's right here. You got to kill him, right? That's what they said in Pasuk Dalid, okay? The end of Pasuk Dalet, David ignores them and he goes and he cuts the coat. Pasuk, hey, he feels badly about it. And Pasuk Vav, then he goes and responds to his men, you know, Chalila, that I can't touch Shaul. So Rashi says these psukim are really out of order.
Wait,
right? That I can't touch him. I can't kill him. You want me to kill him? I can't kill him. Chalila.
Oh, so this pasuk before he cut
the... That's what Rashi says. This pasuk is really out of order. And this is really the response to the men who told him to kill Shaul. The men are telling him, go kill Shaul. He's right here. You got him in your crosshairs, right? David's response is that Chalila, I can't touch him. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one. He's the king. I can't touch him. And then David says, so you know what? He says, I'm going to cut his coat. And even then he feels badly. So this Pasuk Vav, according to Rashi, really is supposed to be in the middle of Pasuk Dalet, right? In between where his men say to kill Shaul and David cuts the coat, right there in the middle, that's really where Pasuk Vav belongs. Okay, that's how Rashi deals with this, with these psukim. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they say that. I'm not sure about Novi. I don't know if they have the same outlook as by Novi.
The strange thing in this pasuk, it says, "Who am I?" He says, "You know, Emesa the Barzei Ladeliyim Mashiach Hashem."
Right.
The Shmoy Adibo Ki Mashiach Hashem.
Yeah. Why does it repeat Mashiach Hashem? Who? Good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Now the Radak is not crazy about saying the psukim are out of order. He doesn't really love Rashi's interpretation. So the Radak says that what happened was the men encouraged David to kill Shaul. David ignored them. He went to Shaul and he cut his coat and he comes back with a piece of coat. So his men are looking at him like, "What just happened? Where's the body? We told you to kill him and you came back with a corner of the coat. I mean, what would you just do?" So David responded, "Chalilali, I couldn't touch him. I couldn't kill him. I couldn't hurt him. This was all I could do." Right? So according to the Radak, it is in order, and it's responding to the, you know, to the shock of the men when David comes back with just the corner. They thought he was going to kill him. Right? They said, "Go kill him." David goes. They think he's going to kill him. He comes back with the corner of the coat, and they say, "What happened?" Right? So this is the response in Pasuk Vav. Chalila, yeah, the Mitzvah David said Chalila is from the language of Chulin. It's all related. It's related to Chilul Hashem. It's related to Chilul Hashem. Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, could be. Now, the Malbim says something fascinating here. And the Malbim says that this whole business with cutting the coat, this was a test. Because, like we mentioned before, David wasn't sure if now was the right time for Shaul to die, to lose the Melucha, and the Melucha to go to him. He wasn't sure if it's the right time. So he says, you know what? I'm going to try it out. I'm going to test it. Like he tests out the waters. I'm going to cut his coat, and I'll see what happens. I'll see what my reaction, what my spiritual ruchniistic reaction is to that maisa, to what I did to Shaul. If I react in a positive way, it's time for Shaul to go. If I react in a negative way, then I know that it's not yet time for Shaul to go. And therefore, this he's not sure if he should kill Shaul. So he goes and he does this test of clipping the coat. The response is Pasuk Hey, he feels terribly about it. He feels terribly, says the Malbim, an Adam HaSholem, a person who's spiritually on a high madrego, spiritually complete, that person is very in tune, is very sensitive spiritually. And therefore, he knows this was the wrong thing to do. If I feel this way about clipping his coat, I know that this was the wrong thing to do. It's not yet time for Shaul to die and to lose his melucha, and therefore, I cannot kill him. And that's his response. That's Pasuk Vav. According to the Malbim, it's not out of order at all. In Pasuk Dalet, the men say, go kill Shaul. So David says, I'm not sure if I can or not. Let me test it out. He clips his coat. He comes back, Pasuk, hey, he has this emotional, spiritual reaction, negative reaction to cutting the coat. And then Pasuk Vav, he says, based on my spiritual reaction, I know that I cannot touch him. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He's still the king. And I cannot kill him right now. It's not yet time for Shaul to lose his life and to lose his melucha. So according to the Malbim, everything is beautiful. It's mamish in order. Because this is exactly what he was doing. He was testing the water, so to speak, to see if it was time. Unbelievable. Okay. Now, just another fascinating thing about this coat is that, you see, everything comes around full circle. Chazal point out here that David, although he was doing this, you know, certainly according to the Malbim, there was a real tachlis for him to do it. And according to all the other Mefarshim, Pashim Shad, he just wanted to show Shaul how close he got. But at the same time, he was mevaza his clothing. He embarrassed, he disgraced his clothing. You cut your clothing. He disgraced it. Chazal say anyone who disgraces their clothing, they will not benefit from their clothing. What do we read at Melachim Aleph at the end of David's life? Yeah. Pasuk, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. V'amelech David zokein bo bayomim. David is very old. V'yechaseyu v'yechasu b'begodim v'lo yichamlo. They covered him with clothing and it didn't work. It didn't keep him warm. It didn't keep him warm. We'll talk about that in a different time. It didn't keep him warm, right? The clothing didn't keep him warm. So why didn't the clothing keep him warm? Say Chazal, this was an onesh. This was a punishment. Because since he cut the clothing, he didn't give the clothing the proper respect, and therefore the clothing didn't keep him warm. Amazing. Amazing. I don't know. It's a good question. Now, should he have? Shouldn't he have? It's amazing. Right? But you see here just the sensitivity to clothing, right? But even to inanimate things, right? Baltashchis, you see, tzaddikim are careful about their clothing, about their possessions. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you clothing, it's a matana. It's a present. You don't disgrace it. You don't throw it out. You don't trash it. I mean, nowadays, you know, everything is disposable, right? No, we don't treat anything with respect. You know, in the olden days, they used to care it. They used to care for it, and they used to polish things and keep them nice and repair them when they needed repairs. Now, it has a little nick. That's it. Throw it out. Call the sanitation department for a big pickup tomorrow, right? That's the age that we live in. But you see the sensitivity Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to have for all of our possessions. Amazing. And you also see how things come around, right? We've seen this time and time again, right? When we do things right, Kosh Baruch Hu pays you back years and years later. We do things wrong, sometimes Kosh Baruch Hu also pays us back years later. So how careful we have to be with what we do and how we act. Okay. Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion. Okay. We did Vav. You might be, you might have a different count because of your...
Oh, that's right. I have it also.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Rabbi.
Yes.
By cutting the coat, didn't he make the sisters invalid? Because it only had three corners, not four?
It's a good question. I don't know that this was maybe you're assuming it was a beged that's chayiv in tzitzis. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. I didn't see the mefarshim here that I saw didn't talk about the fact, you know, whether it had tzitzis or not. Maybe other mefarshim do. I don't know.
Yeah, but my own Lois says that it was a tzitzis.
He cut the corner, which invalidated it. It was no longer a four-cornered garment.
Exactly.
It was no longer chayiv in tzitzis.
Invalid.
Interesting. Okay, I have to see what the meaning of that is. Very interesting. I'm not sure. Okay. Pasuk Zayin. Vayishasa David es anoshav badvarim. Now, this is a very interesting word, vayishasa. Vayishasa means he split. So here the Mefarshim try to figure out what's he splitting here. So some say he's distancing the men from him. Some say he was distancing the men from each other. He didn't want them to gang up because, again, the men were bloodthirsty. They wanted David to go kill Shaul. David is saying, relax, not now. I can't do it. It's not the right time. You know, so he's got to kind of cool the temperature here and get everybody to calm down. They're bloodthirsty. They want Shaul dead. So Vayishasa David es anoshav badvarim. David calms them down. He separates them either from him or from each other. He doesn't want them to get into a gang and to overcome him. He rebuked them. Okay. V'lo nisanam lakum el shaul. And he did not allow them to go to Shaul. They said, okay, we'll kill Shaul. Right? You don't want to do it? Fine. We'll do it. No. He did not allow them to do it. He did not allow them to go touch Shaul. V'shaul kameh ha'ma'ara v'yelech badarach. Shaul gets up. He's finished his business. And he gets up and he goes back to the road. Okay. Now it's interesting here that David does not accost him yet, right? Why doesn't David just go over to him right now and talk to him? So here the Malbim says that he actually waited because he was afraid that if he would go to Shaul right now, the men would kill Shaul, right? If he goes to talk to Shaul, the men are just going to jump on him and kill him. So he waits until Shaul gets far away, back to his men, right? Now David goes out and he's going to confront Shaul. But now David feels secure that his men are not going to just fly off the handle and go kill Shaul because he's already back out in the open. He's with his men. They're not going to do that. Pasuk Ches, Vayokum David acharechein vayetze mehameora. So David, after this, goes. He gets up and he goes out of the cave. Vayikra acharei Shaul lemor. He calls after Shaul. Hey, right, King Shaul. And he says, Adoni Amelech, my master, the king. Vayabet Shaul acharov. Shaul turns around. Vayikol David apayim arta vayishtochu. And David bows down to Shaul, a sign of respect. Okay, now this is face to face, right? Shaul has been chasing him all this time. And finally he sees him, totally taken by surprise. He has no clue that he was there in the cave behind him. So Shaul is totally taken aback, but David's right here. Pasuk tes vayomer David l'Shaul. So David says to Shaul, Lama sishma es divrei adam leimor. Why are you believing what people say? Hine David mevakesh ra'asecha. Why are you believing what people say that I'm out to get you? Right? That I want your downfall, that I want to kill you, that I want to take your malucha. Why do you listen to these people? Mefarshim ol say, Rashi says, why are you listening to Lashon Hara? Doeg, remember Doeg? Doeg Adomi, he's the one who said the Lashon Hara. He was in Nov, remember? He killed all the Kohanim of Nov. He's the one who started this. David says, why are you listening to the Lashon Hara of Doeg? Pasuk Yud. Hine hayom hazeh ra'u einecha eis asher nesoncha Hashem hayom biyadi ba'me'ara. He says, you can see right now with your own two eyes that Hashem gave you into my hands in this cave that you were just in. The Omar lahara agocha, but right, I said I could have killed you. Batachas alecha ba'omar lo eshlach yodi ba'doni ki Mashiach Hashem hu. And I made the decision. I had mercy on you, and I made the decision not to touch you because you're the Mashiach Hashem, because you're the anointed one, you're the king, right? My men wanted me to kill you. Not only that, says the Radak, but I had a heter to kill you. I'm allowed to kill you. Why? As Joe said before, Abba l'hargach ashkem l'hargo. You're coming to kill me, I have the right to kill you. Self-defense. So my men were telling me to kill you. I have a heter to kill you, but I didn't. I had mercy on you. I had mercy on you. Now, fascinating, Chazal say here, going again full circle, that he uses the language here, vatachos. So vatachos, he says that the tznius, Chazal say, tznius shehaya b'chachosa alecha. But remember, we started out by saying that when Shaul went to the bathroom, he exercised extreme tznius. That tznius acted as a schus, as a merit for him. And that's why, says David, that's why you merited not to be killed today, because of your tznius. Interesting side point by Chazal. Now the Malbim says here that if you look at the pasuk, and of course the Malbim always takes apart the pasuk and notices all the differences, and he says that, why haven't I hurt you until now? Why haven't I killed you until now? It's not because I wasn't able to. Look what I did to your coat. Look how close I was, right? It's not that I'm afraid of your men, because look, you were alone in the cave. Hashem asancha, Hashem hayom biyadi ba'me'ara. You were in a cave alone. Your men weren't there. So I wasn't afraid of your men. And not only that, don't tell me that I was afraid of Hashem, because Hashem allows me to kill you. Because why? Hashem says, someone's chasing you to kill you, you're allowed to kill them. So I'm not afraid of Hashem. I'm not to kill you. I'm allowed to kill you. I'm not afraid of your men. You were by yourself in the cave. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yeah. The Avi, he calls him his father here, also a language of respect. Re'ei gam re'ei es kenaf mi'ilcha biyadi. He lifts up the corner of the coat and he says, look, this is your coat. This is the corner of your coat. Ki b'charsi es kenaf mi'ilcha velo haragticha. Based on the fact that I cut off the corner of your coat and I did not kill you, I was this close, and I did not kill you. Da ure'ei ki ein biyadi ra'av afesha velo chatasilach. You should know and see, I have nothing against you. Right? I have no sin on my hands. I have nothing against you. I don't want to kill you. If I wanted to kill you, you would be dead. Right? I don't want to kill you. I'm not out to get you. I have nothing against you, and I have no sin on my hands. Ve'ata tzodin es nafshi lekachta. You're the one who's chasing me. You're trapping me to try to kill me. For nothing. For nothing. Mefarshim all pick up here on the double re'ei. The avi re'ei gam re'ei yaskanaf mi ilcha. Then it says again at the end of the pasuk, or towards the end, Ure'ei ki ein biyadi ra'ah. So the re'ei is, you know, that see with your own eyes and understand with your heart. See with your senses and understand deep down in your heart that I'm not out to get you. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. Therefore, yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha. Hashem is going to be the judge between me and between you. Unikamani Hashem mimecha viyadi lo siyebach. Hashem will take revenge for me from you, but I won't touch it. Right? So David's saying, you're doing something wrong here. You're the one who has the chait. You're chasing me. I didn't do anything to you, but I'm not going to touch it. You're the Mashiach Hashem. I'm not going to touch you, but Hashem will. Hashem's going to punish you for what you're doing, right? And the Malbim says that the fact that he uses the term shofet, we'll see in a minute, what the significance is. But he says that either Hashem, who is the shofet himself, will take revenge, he'll do the justice himself, or he'll send someone else to do it, but I won't do it. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Kasher Yomar Mishal HaKadmoni, like the original mashal, the original parable, and we'll see what this means in a moment, Merishoim Yetze Resha, from the wicked comes wickedness. The Yodi Lo Siyebach, and he repeats, but my hand won't touch you. My hand won't touch you. Now, what's this Mishal HaKadmoni? Very interesting. So the Radak says that this is referring to a mashal that someone had made up. We don't know who. HaKadmoni, the first guy who made up this mashal. And after that, it was a mashal that everyone used to use. And David is quoting that mashal now. May Rishoyim Yetze Resha. Now, what does it mean, May Rishoyim Yetze Resha? Either that the Rishoyim will take care of you. I'm not going to touch you, but the Rishoyim will take care of you. Or it means that just like the wicked, right, are wicked at heart, so too they act with wickedness. May Rishoyim Yetze Resha, they're going to act with wickedness as well. I know that you are wicked because you're chasing me and you're going to act with wickedness. If you catch me, you're not going to have mercy on me. You're going to kill me, right? Interestingly, two fascinating interpretations of this. First, the Malbim. The Malbim says that the Mishal HaKadmoni refers to Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel. Back all the way, that's the Kadmoni. Back all the way at the beginning of the Torah, the story of Cain and Hevel. That what happened? Obviously, we know Cain killed Hevel. And Hashem took revenge from Cain by having Lemech kill Cain. Now, Lemech was a descendant of Cain, right? So says the Malbim, may Rishoyim Yetze Resha, means that the Rasha that killed Cain descended from him, descended from Cain, from the Rasha himself. May Rishoyim Yetze Resha. The wicked will come from the wicked, right? So Lemech, who killed Cain, descended from Cain, who was a Rasha, because he killed Hevel. That's one interpretation. So David is essentially calling Shaul a Rasha, right, for chasing David and trying to kill him. Yeah. Yeah. And he's saying, either way, listen, whether you're killed by Hashem, whether you're killed by another Rasha, whatever the case is, my hand's not going to touch you. My hand is not going to touch you. Now, one more fascinating thing. Yeah. I mean, he's not swearing, but he's telling him, I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to be the one to kill you. No, Hashem will take care of it. Hashem will take care of it. One other fascinating thing here from Chazal, it's based on the Gemara, actually. Gemara in Makos. This Mishal HaKadmoni, so Rashi quotes this on the Pasuk in Mishpatim, in the story of Galus. So we just read Pesukim in Dvarim about going to the Ir Miklat. Someone kills Meshogeg, kills inadvertently, has to run to the Ir Miklat. And so the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, Va'asher lo tzada, if the person wasn't ambushing, he killed him b'shogeg. V'ha'elokim ina liyado. And Hashem, ina liyado means Hashem arranged that it should turn out like this. Hashem arranged that this person should, you know, Ploni should kill Ploni. Reuven should kill Shimon. Rashi explains that based on these words, on the words va'elokim ina liyado in Mishpatim, Rashi says that this is what David meant in Shmuel Aleph, our pasuk, Mishal HaKadmoni may Rishoyim Yetze Resha. What's the Mishal HaKadmoni, says Rashi? Mishal HaKadmoni is the Torah. That's the mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Kadmono Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that predates the world, created the world. So in his mashal, in his Torah, what does it say? Va'elokim ina liyado. So David, according to this, is referring back to that pasuk of va'elokim ina liyado. According to Chazal, that's what David means when he says mishalak hadmoni. Va'elokim ina liyado. What's va'elokim ina liyado? So the Gemara says, imagine a person kills intentionally, b'mezid, schayv misa, but there were no edim, there was no warning, there were no hasra, so Beis Din can't kill him, right? He's on the loose, he's a murderer. So what does Hashem do? Hashem will make him walk underneath a rickety ladder, and there's a guy walking up the rickety ladder, and that guy is going to fall down and boom, kill the guy underneath. So the guy underneath gets his death penalty. And the guy on top, he goes to Gullus. Maybe he also killed someone, Beshogig. Exactly. That's why Elokim ina liyado. Says David HaMelech, says David, Mishala Kadmoni. Elokim ina liyado, Hashem will take care of you. Hashem will take care of you. I'm not going to do it. But I'm confident Hashem will take care of you. Right? And that's the emunah. You see the strong emunah that David had, that Hashem works everything out in the end. Right? Of course, we have to do our hishtablos. But we shouldn't think if someone does something wrong to us, sometimes we think we need to get revenge, right? We need to get revenge. We need to get back at them. David, Shaul's trying to kill him. And David says, I'm not going to touch you. Hashem will take care of it. Hashem will take care of it. We have to have that emunah also. Hashem will take care of it. The score will be settled. After 120, the score will be settled. Guaranteed. Hashem will settle the score. It's not always our job to do it. David himself doesn't need to settle the score. Hashem will settle the score of Elokim ina liyado. That's the Mishalak Hadmoni. Beautiful. Okay. Let's just finish up here. Two last psukim. Pasuk Yudalid. Acharei mi yotza melech Yisrael. Acharei mi ata rodef. Who are you chasing? Right? Melech Yisrael. Who are you chasing? You chasing me? What am I? Acharei kelev meis. Acharei parush echad. I'm like a dead dog. I'm a fly. What are you chasing me for? I'm a nobody. Right? You know, the Radak says, what gevura does anybody see by the fact that you're chasing me? I'm a nobody. What am I? Right? It's beneath you to chase me. The Malbim says that a dog, why a dog here? It could have picked any dead animal. Why Dafka a dog? So he says a dog is loyal to his master. So David says, I'm a dog. I'm your lapdog. I'm loyal to you. I'm your loyal servant. We know David was a loyal servant to Shaul before Shaul started trying to kill him. Right? I'm a loyal servant to you. But I'm not even able to serve you. I'm like a dead dog. I'm not able to serve you, right? Because of how you're treating me, because you're trying to kill me. And then, acharei miata rodef, what are you chasing me? I'm like a fly, right? What do flies do? Me and my 600 men, we're like a little fly. We're a nothing. You try to chase a fly. It goes here, it goes there, it goes the other place. That's what we're doing, right? What are you doing? Well, why are you chasing us? Pasuk tezvav, with this we'll conclude. V'hayo Hashem l'dayon v'shafat v'niu v'necha. Hashem will be the Dayan, he'll be the judge, and he will judge between me and between you. He'll see, he's going to evaluate this case, he's going to fight my cause, and he's going to provide justice for me from your hands. Right? So David is really giving it to Shaul here. And the Malbim says, what's the difference between a Dayan and a Shofet? He says, L'dayan v'shofat. So he says, a Dayan is the judge that hears everyone's claims. Hashem's going to be the Dayan. He's looking at your side of the story. He's going to look at my side of the story. But the Shofet is the one who decides the halacha in the end. Shofet is the one who says, the halacha is like this. Shulchan Aruch says like this. So Hashem will be the Dayan, the Yerev, the Yarev, says the Malbim. Hashem will be the Dayan. He'll look at the whole scenario. He'll look at the whole picture. He'll look at you. He'll look at me. He'll look at everything. He'll evaluate everything. But then in the end, the Yishpiteini. But then in the end, Hashem will be the Shofet. Hashem knows the halacha. Hashem knows what's right and what's wrong. You're in the wrong and I'm in the right. And therefore, Hashem is going to be the Shofet, Beini uVeinecha. Okay, quite a dramatic story this week. But we'll pick up Amir Tzah Hashem next week. Bli Neder, yeah.